and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacy, and today we're talking about some rather interesting stories of people being bold, but not in the sense you might think, not in the Braveheart sense of bold, but in the, wow, you got some guts there, some chutzpah, some something. So the first story is that John Oliver quit, supposedly, his show Last Week Tonight. If you don't know, John Oliver is the host of a show called Last Week Tonight, which is on HBO, but you can usually find the main segment, at least the main news story segment, posted on the Last Week Tonight YouTube channel. And this, the whole situation for this story almost feels like, I don't know, Mad Libs. If you had just had a newspaper article and just thrown things at it and put them in, it's that sort of level of ridiculous. So a while back, John Oliver paid, and I'm a little confused. I thought it was $7,000, but I saw an article that said it was $10,000, some amount of money for Russell Crowe's jockstrap that he used in the movie Cinderella Man, because Russell Crowe was getting divorced and decided to hold an auction because of that divorce. That right away is just sort of a what situation, but John Oliver and Last Week Tonight, being what they are, tend to buy things that they find ridiculous just to prove how ridiculous they are, bought, amongst other things, the jockstrap from Cinderella Man, and decided to donate it to the last Blockbuster, which is in Alaska. I'm not sure if it's the last Blockbuster in the world, but it's, I believe, America's last Blockbuster, because Blockbuster went bankrupt and doesn't exist anymore, but some of them were individually owned. They didn't belong to the main corporation. They were owned by individuals. And so they still exist in Alaska, and decided this is such an amazing thing with this Blockbuster in Alaska. When I get these things, I will donate them to the Alaskan Blockbuster. So he did, and it's become a little bit of a tourist draw now. And Russell Crowe evidently saw this and heard about it and decided, I need to one-up John Oliver on this because we're just doing crazy, ridiculous things. Decided he needed to do something with the money that John Oliver paid for that, to donate it to something as a quote-unquote thank you. So he donated that money to an Australian museum to create the John Oliver Koala Chlamydia Award, which just... what? Hey, I don't know how koalas get chlamydia, and I'm not quite sure I want to know how koalas get chlamydia. Just the fact that they have them and that there is a whole ward to deal with this is just by itself an amazing news story, but sort of well played, Russell Crowe. Now there is a plaque that says the John Oliver Koala Chlamydia Award. John Oliver, always being one to take a joke, decided that, yes, that's it. This is the most amazing thing happened that has ever happened. And not only that, but it's amazing because supposedly his one and only goal for Last Week Tonight was to have a Koala Chlamydia Award. So since he's now accomplished that, he's done. He's good. And so he quits. Last Week Tonight is over. He's completely ended. And this freaked out a lot of people. Last Week Tonight has a large following and can manage to get those followers to do a lot of things, social media wise. So when he wrote a book about the vice president's rabbit, and that actually outsold on Amazon the vice president's own book about his rabbit. I believe he had just a lot of things that he that people who watch the show are like, yes, let's get involved in, let's engage in. So his fan base is large and passionate. And when they saw this, it was actually not clear that he was joking. He like had them pack up the stuff from his desk and start taking the set apart, and he took off his mic. And so it's like, wait, is he serious, or is he kidding? We don't quite know what's going on here. And people freaked out. And it's like, wait, did John Oliver really just quit last week? Like, I know he's, I love the, and this was how I felt when I saw this too. I was like, so I'm pretty sure he's joking, but I'm not sure he's joking. So I need to check and make sure that he's joking. Even though I think he's joking, must make sure he's joking. It does appear that he most likely is joking, because Last Week Tonight is already set by contract to go until at least 2020. So if you are a fan of Last Week Tonight, rest assured, he should be back. They're just taking a break for a while, which they do sometimes. This is not, I'm not sure if this is the end of the season or just a break that they normally have, because the season just started in February, I believe. So either way, John Oliver will be back, so you can rest assured on that. But as part of the sort of know how to take a joke sort of thing, or I guess this is the reverse of know how to take a joke, there was a thing trending also on Twitter, which was when you're an expert at something, but people explain it to you anyways. So this was started by, and I apologize if I do this Twitter name wrong, Palumchanos, Palumechanos. And it was originally directed towards academic Twitter, just wondering if people who are academics have ever had other people try to explain the topic that they're already experts in. And some of the responses were quite funny. There was one where they're like, after telling my cat's vet I had finished one master's degree in U.S. history and one in Southern history and was pursuing a PhD in Southern history and worked at the Journal of Southern History, he proceeded to tell me how the Civil War wasn't about slavery. We left. Or, and husbands, I would just don't even try this. A woman tweeted that when her husband tried to tell her how her cycle works, she responded, I've been doing this for a while. How long have you been menstruating, dear? He shut right up. And this actually got a lot of responses, mostly regarding mansplaining. It did often seem to be women, no matter how far they were in their field, were being told things by men who somehow thought they knew better. There was one where a woman was a doctor and was at the scene of an accident, where a man stepped up and was like, oh, I've taken a first aid course, and then proceeded to get the victim, who I believe had like been hit by a car, proceeded to try to get them to move. And it's just like, okay, even I know that you're not supposed to do that. And I got my CPR certification, and then I haven't recertified, so it's actually really expired right now. But even I know the basics of, you know, don't move, wait for the full professional emergency people to get there. Why would you, what first aid class did you take that you're like, oh, get up and move? No, especially, like, it's actually hard sometimes with people who have been injured in that way to get them to not move, because they're in pain and it's just like, not sure what's going on, want to get out of this, want to get away from this. And so it's just like, I have to get up and figure out, it's like, no, stay down, don't move, please don't. Just FYI, if you're ever in that situation, I hope you're not. Don't move, and don't let the other person try to move. Wait till the EMTs get there. But there was actually a man who wrote a tweet in response to somebody else's tweet, where they were talking about their experience with someone telling them something. And they were just like, oh, this sounds like this thing from this essay. And they responded back like, yes, that's because the person who tweeted that is a friend of that writer, and so they wrote about them. And someone else was like, you basically just tried to mansplain mansplaining. And he owned up to it. He's like, well, you're right, I'm sorry. And I was just like, thank you, sir, whoever you are, for that. Because it's very hard. It's very annoying, I'm sure. And I'm not an expert in probably anything, so I haven't had that happen to me too much, although I have had some people talk to me like they think I don't know anything when I'm like, I definitely already at least know that the basics of this thing that we're in the like advanced class for, but thanks. But yeah, if you are an expert, to have it be mansplained to you is probably just really frustrating. And to have mansplaining be mansplained to you is almost unbelievably A, unreal, and B, kind of insulting. But thankfully, this man realized what he had done when he'd been told about it and was man enough to apologize for it. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. There's been a lot lately on the news, even just in the past, let's say, couple of weeks of different situations where people of color inadvertently get put into ridiculous and or unfair and or completely unnecessary situations. There was, of course, the man at Starbucks that everyone knew. There were the two Native American students who tried to do the college tour. There was the group of five women at the golf club. There was the grad student at Yale, which of all of them, that one completely throws me off because I'm just like, I've done undergrad and grad school and I'm a little confused at the idea that you can't sleep in a common room because I've definitely seen people do that. So is Yale a little different that you can't sleep in common rooms? Or I don't know. That one's a little strange. They were both students there and they're both in that dorm. So it's not even like she's not in her own dorm. And the woman who called the police on her seemed to know she was a student there. So yeah, that one, I don't know. But interestingly, going along with the, wow, I can't quite believe these situations that of course create an almost firestorm of a conversation over social media. And that's probably just because we're now at that point, technological wise, where everyone's got a cell phone to to record these and put them immediately on social media, and people can easily see it and respond and send it to others. So this just can all blow up very, very quickly. Bob Marley's granddaughter had the cops called on her as she was leaving an Airbnb. So her name is Denisha Prendergast, I apologize if I mispronounced that. And she is the daughter of Bob Marley's daughter, I believe. She was with a group of four, three of whom are black. And they were in, it was the Rialto police was called, but I believe they were going to a social conference somewhere in LA. They were putting on a social conference and they had booked an Airbnb and they had stayed there and they were finished and checking out and putting their bags in the luggage. Putting their luggage in the car when their car was sort of suddenly surrounded by cops. And one of the women sort of very quickly took it off her cell phone and Instagrammed it live and then later put it up, I believe, on her Facebook as well. But just sort of filming it as it was happening, there were several cop cars. Originally, it seemed like there were four, but then maybe later there were seven. And supposedly, like, the police helicopter was also involved. And they were told that someone was suspected of, you know, robbery, breaking into the house and taking things out. And they eventually had a police sergeant show up who claimed he didn't know what Airbnb was and thought they were lying. And it's just like, how old are you? You don't know what Airbnb is? Like, I've never even used an Airbnb, and I kind of at least understand the basic premise of it. You've never heard of it at all? Really? Okay. Frustrating for them at that situation, but okay. So the police actually they originally called the owner of the house to say, will you please tell them, you know, that this is your house and you did rent Airbnb. See, I don't do Airbnb, so I'm not sure what the verb is there. But we totally have the right to stay there and we're not stealing anything and you know who we are. And she was like, yes. And they're like, well, we need you to come down and verify to make sure you are actually the owner of this house and not just somebody they called on the phone. And the owner was like, I'm at work right now. And they got a little testy because that would probably be super frustrating. Like, I have things to do. I'm putting on a conference and someone called the cops on me because I left my Airbnb. And evidently it came out later that the neighbor who called the cops because they did not wave at her. And it's just like, no, sorry. What? Because they didn't wave at you? That must mean those people with the baggage are thieves? Okay. That's kind of jumping from A to like R right there. But okay. Fine. But this was all eventually sorted out and they were able to go on and put their conference on in time. But yes, that did raise a firestorm, and it was probably helped by the fact that this was Bob Marley's granddaughter who was having this. And it's just like, yes, welcome to America. I don't even know. But I mean, and speaking of America, if you haven't seen it already, Childish Gambino released a video, This is America, which, wow, he was definitely not pulling punches there. But it's very interesting because one of the messages, and people had a field day trying to figure out what all the messages are. It's hard to figure out because you definitely have to watch that video multiple times to get things that are going on. One of the messages seemed to be about social media itself, actually, and how social media serves as a distraction. But then in the music video, Gambino himself is a distraction. But then also all the talk on social media about this music video maybe also is a distraction. So we're at like multiple levels of what? What's going on? So yeah, I watched the video and completely did not notice almost anything going on in the background because I was distracted by Gambino and his dancers and the shootings. Fair warning, if you have not seen the music video, there are two different shootings in there. We don't really hide that. But then after I watched it the one time, I was just like, okay. And then saw all the things on social media. And I was just like, wait, what? I completely missed like 95% of the stuff you're talking about here. Like, there's a thing with a white horse, and I had no idea there was a white horse in the video at all. I did not notice that the first couple of times it happened. Like, even if once I knew it was there, I watched it without knowing specifically when it went through, so I still didn't get it the second time. Finally did get it on the third time. I'm not blind, I swear. I just am distracted by dancing. I'm not sure. But yeah, the idea that we take these things that go viral, like dance trends or memes on social media, and that kind of distracts us from perhaps bigger issues or bigger topics or more serious things, that we have now these tools to really start up a good conversation with, but kind of don't. Like, it's very hard. Well, it's not. I won't say it's very hard. It's very easy not to be ignorant nowadays because we have the internet and fast speed internet, and pretty much everything is on the internet now. So you can educate yourself if you want to, but if you don't want to, you can still totally be ignorant about things. That also is pretty easy itself. But to have the social media and have all these tools and still, oh, we only focus on the cool, funny, quirky things and not on the more serious things that need fixing is probably a bit frustrating, and it seemed to come through in that video. And then the fact that on social media we're having this discussion about social media without doing anything about social media was just like, yeah, wait, we're at like certain levels of infinity or purgatory or hell. Something's going on here that we definitely should have stopped somewhere and maybe sat down and thought about this and talked about this as a society. And that seems to be what he's at least trying to portray in the video. But again, there's a lot in that video. It definitely takes multiple viewings. And even with the ability to talk about it on social media and to very quickly point out, see, this is what he's getting at, people still can't fully agree on like what the pants mean or what the jewelry, the necklaces mean, or like the full, what the whole thing is about Celly and Tool means. Is that a cell phone? Is that a prison cell? So even with this, conversation still gets stilted. But we're still, relatively speaking, in the early days of this instantaneous everything on social media. So I'm sure we're all going to look back on this in 50 years and just be like, oh, wow, we were just stupid about that. We should have known better. But it took us some moments to get there, because that's just how it always does. History, huzzah. So on that note, we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our final story today is either brilliant or completely idiotic, but either way, amazingly bold, in that a man changed the address of UPS's headquarters to his own apartment using the Postal Service's address change form so that he started receiving all the mail that was supposed to go to UPS's headquarters. He submitted this form in October of 2017, changing the corporate's address from its headquarters, which is in Atlanta, to his address, which is on Chicago's north side. That didn't raise any eyebrows. And he also originally at first wrote his initials HS, but then crossed them out and replaced them with UPS. And that still somehow didn't raise any eyebrows. I'm wondering if it's all completely processed by machine, but if it's handwritten, how does the machine, there's got to be someone that like checks that to make sure the machine got it right. Were they on autopilot that day or something? Because this went on for nearly 3 months that he received mail for them, to the point that he received so much mail, the postal service actually had to put a tub outside his apartment to put it in, because it was just like, we can't just leave this here. You've got to have some way to organize it. You're getting so much mail. And that also somehow did not raise eyebrows. Just, okay. I mean, and again, millions and millions of things go through the mail probably just every day. So they're busy and have schedules to keep. But I'm a little confused that nobody saw this complete change that's a little out of the normal for just an individual as anything to comment on. But okay. Because you would think they'd at least have some sort of system in place to be like, hey, this is suspicious, someone should check it out. And then if it checks out and it's nothing, that's fine, but it was at least checked out. But it seemed it wasn't checked out for a while until UPS kind of complained about it. But things he got in the mail were packages and American Express credit cards and checks. So he actually ended up depositing roughly $58,000 worth of UPS checks into his own account, which I'm also a little confused on how that happens, because aren't there specific names written on those checks, or is a check just made out to UPS? And how do you cash that check, deposit that at your bank, don't they? If the name's not the... Yeah, just a little confusing on how this all went on. But again, either brilliant or idiotic, not sure. However, because this is the U.S. Postal Service, messing with the Postal Service is a federal crime. So this man now faces federal charges for mail theft and mail fraud. And mail theft has a max of 5 years, and mail fraud has a max of 20 years. So he's looking at maybe 25 years or so in prison because just, yeah, this plan. And he originally told either investigators or reporters that he had worked for UPS back in 2012 and that he was getting all this mail from some error that he had nothing to do with. He wasn't sure why he was getting all this mail either. And it's just like, yeah, but we have a form where you filled this out, so we know you're lying and you do know that you did this. Just, wow. And people's reactions were like, this is either brilliant or madness. One person tweeted, I can't tell if this is a good plan, poorly executed, or a terrible plan carried out beautifully. And that's sort of how it feels. It's like, that actually kind of seems brilliant, and it actually kind of seems stupid, because you know you're going to get caught, right? Like, it's the mail. It's the federal mail. This is run by the government. And if you're going to do that, why would you change it from a corporation to an individual? Like, get the another individual's mail. I do not think you should do that. I am not in any way advocating for federal crimes here. It just seems like that would have been the slightly... But don't. Do not. Federal crimes. Long prison sentences and federal crime. But this has brought up questions about the mail address process with the Postal Service. And I've had this problem too. Like, I know when I was in grad school, I was actually living on campus. So I just had all my mail go there because I was there for like a year and a half. So it was like, if this is something important, I need to know it right away. And I'm not going to wait for it to like go home where I keep my permanent address at my mother's house and then have her send it to me because it already took however long to get to her and then we're not even in the same state, so then she has to mail it to me. I'll just have it come to me. And I thought that was fine, and I followed the instructions that my college gave me for how to write down the college address, which included the college name. But then when I finished grad school and was moving and was trying to change my address, it would not let me change because it had the college name in it, and so I could not change it because it was an institution or something. And it's like, yes, but it's me specifically. I am one person, and I wrote my name, and I just happen to be at this institution, and I can't change it? Like, what if I was a professor and I was moving to a different college? I can't change my mail? Really? What? And my mother's had this problem too, where she has for, oh gosh, it's been, what, 5 years maybe, or more even, where she's had a box at a shipping center, sort of, because at the time she was in the process of moving and the place she was supposed to move into didn't quite work out. So she was sort of in between places for a while and staying with a family member while that got sorted out. And so in order to get her mail, because she didn't want it to change it to the family member's house since she was only going to be there for a while, she just got a box, she thought, temporarily. But then when she wanted to change the things that went to this box, for some reason, the Postal Service wouldn't let her do that either because it's at the shipping center. I do not quite get that. And normally I've never had a problem with changing my address with the Postal Service, and I've changed it a couple of times. So yeah, it's like sometimes it's super easy and other times it's like you are being frustrating for literally no reason. But apparently last year in 2017, the Postal Inspection Service received over 17,000 complaints relating to fraudulent address changes, which is just like, there's more than 17,000 people like trying to steal other people's mail or something. on the one hand, glad it's certainly not more because the Postal Service serves pretty much the entire population of America. So we're getting into, you know, millions and millions. At that point, 17,000 actually sounds great. But on the other hand, no, wait, really? 17,000 people are stealing other people's mail through the actual, like, official channel to change addresses. Okay, sure. There's also been over 46,000 inquiries regarding the validity of the change of address order process since January of 2016, which that I can kind of buy, and I'm actually surprised it's not a little higher because, again, sometimes it's so, super simple. It works well. It works even before, like, I've even moved there because you can sort of choose your date, and I sort of always chose it a couple of days in advance of when I was actually planning to move just because I didn't trust that it would go through on the day that I actually wanted to. And then, like, when I get to my new place, it's like, oh yeah, you've already got mail here. I'm like, I do. Wow. That's amazing. But then other times, like with me, with grad school, or my mother with the shipping place, just like, yep, nope, going to be difficult for no reason whatsoever, which just seems to be the way most people feel about mail service in general. We talked about a couple episodes ago about the Amazon delivering to your car as a way to curb people stealing packages from the porch. And it's just like, oh, why? How can this possibly be this difficult and frustrating just to get the thing that's supposed to totally come to me? This was supposed to be a service that made things simpler as we all moved out and spread around and moved farther away. But as most things go, things simplify, and then they also make things even more complicated in ways we did not know they were gonna. And on that very bright note, we're gonna end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.